America is Afraid by Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Now, you probably have heard her many times on the radio. She's gotten quite a bit of static for her points of views that she's articulated lately. But she's now on WorldNet Daily as a regular writer. So that's why I encourage folks to go to these different points of view. WorldNet Daily, commondreams.org. You, by contrasting the points of view, I think you end up eventually coming to a consensus in your own mind, if you will, of what's right and what is going on. Try to get different perspectives and different points of views, and I think you'll actually eventually arrive at something fairly rational. America is Afraid, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, and she talked about how after a long day she came home and plopped herself down in front of the TV set. And there was an old propaganda film. It's about how Germany allowed itself to be swallowed up by the Third Reich, which at that time, she points out, was the most enlightened country in Europe with probably more educated people per square inch than anywhere else in Europe. And you must ask yourself, I have many times, how in the world did such an advanced country, if you will, end up with that kind of degeneracy? The film points out that Nazism was built slowly. Anyone who disagreed with it was either killed or their families were threatened or tortured. Some way they were marginalized, their businesses were broken up, and so forth. And she goes on, as I have said many times on this airwaves here, I frankly see this beginning to happen in America. If you're black, you have to say one thing. If you're gay, you have to have one point of view. And if you're a feminist, you have to spout yet another party line. If you don't follow these lines, you're bad, hateful, or a turncoat. To be a decent person in America today, in terms of political correctness, you have to support gay marriages, abortions, unwed motherhood. In fact, celebrate that, especially if mom is a movie star. Gun control and growing acceptance of child sexuality, even with adults. Holding these views prevents you from being verbally attacked by others. And you know what the center point of all of this is? Fear. Blacks write to me saying, I can't speak my conservative views. I will lose my job. My character will be assassinated. Gay people write to me and say the same thing. Female and male university professors write me saying the same thing and ask me not to use their name. Fear is running this country. We are losing our democracy to groupthink, empowered by guerrilla warfare tactics. So most people are living in fear. Political correctness, when it first comes up, was sort of a joke. Now it's anything but. I'll look around and see how to mobilize so many otherwise decent people. Well, I'm afraid that I'd have to agree with a great deal of what she says. In fact, I can't think of anything that I would disagree with her on that. Fear is indeed running America, and I would go beyond that. I think Henry Lamb was correct when he said the greatest danger facing America right now is apathy. It's just not caring, not bothering. I think one of the things that I think that happens is when you go to public school, you lose a certain type of initiative, a certain point of self-force that allows you to go out into the world and make things happen. You get so used to taking orders and going along in school that it permanently ruins your mind. Thank you. I will see you next week. Oh, pretty good. Kind of quiet here in the airways tonight.
Well, tell people to be sure to come to our conference.
I sure
got about 60 people lined up, and I'm hoping we'll get well over 100. Are you signed up yet? Okay, fine, because we have to know ahead of time. I figured most people are putting it off till the last minute, but okay, thanks so much. Yeah.
Is Kennedy bring a skull in the Skull and Bones place? I've heard.
No. I've never heard that.
Someone said that's what happened with his brain.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I saw the gift you have. Okay. I've been hearing that.
Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls for the time being, because we have this evening one of my favorite guests. Her name is Karen Lee Bixman. Hi, Karen Lee. How are you doing?
Just fine, Dr. Stan.
Oh, well, how's everything down there? You're not having any tornadoes in Southern California, are you?
No, we're not.
I'll tell you what, the pictures that we see now of the devastation across the country are pretty amazing. Of course, I was driving through Alabama yesterday morning, and we just got out of there before those tornadoes hit. So I guess the Lord does look after us. So I could be here with you tonight and have you bring us up to date on your latest newsletter. Now, for those of you who don't know, Karen Lee Bixman is the investigative reporter, and she's been writing insightful and really wonderful articles for, as many years as I've known her. What is it? When did you start? 94?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And, with a short time off there when she was taking it easy, now she's been back for some time. Karen did have an illness, but she's back in full force now and doing some wonderful work. So were you going to be talking about your latest newsletter?
Right, and we're going to deal with a lot of heavy-duty information, as usual, tonight.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, there is so much going on that the average American has no knowledge of at all. In fact, well, I'm going to let you pick up and talk about it, and then we'll just have a little discussion here. But you go ahead, and I'll just give you free rein. You pick up and run with it.
Well, in this latest letter, I mentioned that I have done approximately 50 radio shows since August. And I have repeatedly said that I believe by the end of the year, and hopefully maybe I will be off a couple months and we'll have a little more time, that would be wonderful. But I believe by the end of the year there are going to be three events that are going to happen. And that is an economic collapse, another terrorist event, and the war in Iraq. And again, what I'm saying, this is heavy-duty information, it is Dr. Stan. And I also want to get into some of the information behind our current president, the one that is behind orchestrating this war, the Skull and Bones that he's a member of. But there were some very pertinent news items that I thought related to this that I needed to read it to your audience. As far as our economy goes, wasn't it interesting that the day after the election, the market started falling again? On Thursday and Friday, but I have repeatedly said that this economic crash is going to be spawned by bank failures. And I was with you last time. I talked about Commerce Bank. That was this whole thing would have imploded on the 10th of October, but the German Central Bank came in and propped up the Commerce Bank. The Bank of Japan came in and propped up the Japanese banks. But over the weekend, I read an article from the Swiss paper who says the Cant, I'm going to spell this because I'm probably not pronouncing it right, C-A-N-T-O-N-A-L, Canotel, I guess, Bank of Vaud, in Switzerland is in trouble and is now being bailed out by that government.
Well, it would probably be Cantonal, because Cantonal. They have cantons over there like states. So anyway, go ahead.
Okay, Cantonal Bank of Vaud.
Right.
This was out of the Swiss paper for the 29th of October. That is being bailed out by the Swiss government. Out of the Scotland paper from October 27th, there's an article called Europe on the Brink of Collapse, saying that the German economy right now is in a catastrophic situation. We have the banks. J.P. Morgan Chase has been being propped up right now by the Federal Reserve. These banks are just on the cliff, ready to fall. And as I said, I believe that is what is going to cause this economic crash that we're going to see very shortly. More importantly, in regards to the war in Iraq, this war is being pushed by George W. Bush, who is a Skull and Bones member, the warrior mentality. We'll get into that in a little bit. But there are three very important articles that people need to be aware of. Again, all of this is mostly coming out of the foreign press. Here, this was on Sunday, November 10th, a Reuters story that British Prime Minister Tony Blair was going to be speaking to Brits today, talking about a possible terrorist attack in the weeks leading up to Christmas. France also yesterday said intelligence reports pointed to France as a favorite target. They expect an attack very soon. Then yesterday, Sunday, November 10th, there was an article, and there is a man by the name of, again, I will spell this, I want to say Mansour, the last name is I-J-A-Z, and he is the Pakistani-American businessman who actually helped negotiate a deal that was turned down by the Clinton administration for Osama bin Laden extradition to the United States.
Now, that was in 1996.
Right. Well, he said last Saturday that the terror chief's Al-Qaeda network is planning to launch major attacks on the U.S. and two other countries by the end of the month. And this was reported on Fox News Channel, Fox Wire. And he said that all intelligence experts agree that Al-Qaeda is preparing a major terrorist operation. He says within the next 2 to 3 weeks, I think we're going to be looking at something pretty tough. The host of Fox Wire, her name is Rita Cosby, they are saying that this is almost identical to the information that they had prior to the 9/11 attacks. And he's also saying that the U.S. and the United Kingdom would be primary targets. Again, what we're seeing here is a situation that's very precarious, Dr. Stan. And you have to believe, at least from my intelligence information that I receive, I do believe that we will be in war in Iraq before the end of the year. I do also believe there will be a terrorist attack, and these reports are sort of saying the same thing that we're getting from Europe. However, I believe that these attacks will be blamed on Iraq, which will give the president and those in power justification. And at least in the minds of the American people and some of the European countries, they will then feel justified to go into Iraq. But people need to realize that this whole operation in Iraq was planned long before. There was a report, again, out of the foreign press, and isn't it amazing, Dr. Stan, that we have to pull all this out of the foreign press? But there was a report in the foreign press, the London Sunday Herald, on the 15th of September, entitled Bush Planned Iraq Regime Change Before Coming President. And the whole article talks about a secret blueprint for the U.S. Going into Iraq and initiating a regime change. And this was done by a think tank, Cheney and Jeb Bush, President's brother, was involved in this.
Now, was that part of the American Enterprise Institute plan, or where did they tell you?
It says the neoconservative think tank for the new American century.
Okay,
it's called
fine.
PNAC.
Right. I remember seeing that article. And what you're basically saying is this was all planned long before President Bush became the president. And Paul Wolfowitz was in on that, and Cheney and the others.
Yeah.
And, of course, but they had to have some vehicle. Something would have to happen to mobilize the American people behind their plans to go to war. Is that why, when the president was told on the 6th of August last year that the Arab terrorists planned to hijack our planes, he did not mobilize the National Guard, did not begin putting marshals onto the airplanes, did not tell the pilots to keep their doors closed at all time or allow the pilots to be armed or have planes in the air at all time to guard our cities? Is that why, on the morning of the September 11th attack, for an hour and 40 minutes after the first plane had been hijacked, when we knew the attack was coming, that, of course, there were no planes to guard either the city of New York or the Pentagon, an hour and 40 minutes after the first plane was hijacked, before the last plane did a loop-de-loop, flew all around the Pentagon before crashing into it?
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, people really need to understand what we have here and what is going on right now, of course, is the push for a new world order. But people think that it's just that cut and dried. They need to realize that right now, behind the scenes, you have different branches of the Illuminati, whether it be, you know, British or French masonry, skull and bones, but they are all fighting and they are vying for their position at the top. Of course, Europe wants to be at the head. And then you have the American Skull and Bones Secret Society with members of George Bush and his cabinet and people that are really in power. And I say that George W. Bush is nothing but a figurehead at this point. Intelligence information that I received is that his father is really running things behind the scenes. I will tell you, I have also received intelligence information over the past 6 months. I was told that if someone remembers, I believe it was 1977, while Jimmy Carter was president, and if you remember Stansfield Turner, fired 1,000 CIA agents at that time, and George Herbert Walker Bush was the head of the CIA. I will come out and boldly tell you that the information I have received is there is actually a covert force that is an operation under George W. Bush's father, the senior Bush. We have a skull and bones mentality that is in power right now. And
Of course, most people don't know really what the Skull and Bones Society is, but I bet you're going to tell us.
That's right, just a little background. Skull and Bones was established in 1832 on the Yale campus. This, from documents that some other reporters have done, this claims its roots all the way back to Bavarian Illuminism. In my newsletter, I document a lot of these earlier documents that were written that hooks this back to the German, original German chapter of this. And it's even been said that Adam Weishaupt, who was the founder of the Illuminati, actually was in Germany for a short period of time before he started the Freemasons and his Illuminati. For anyone who still at this point in time doesn't understand what the Illuminati is all about, pure and simple, these men serve Satan. There's no other way to say that, cut and dried. When they're talking about the Illuminated One or the Light Bearers, they're talking about Lucifer.
Well, I think, you know, for our listeners out there who find this hard to believe, I suggest that you go to your library and get the recent issues of the British Encyclopedia Britannica and look up Illuminati. And you won't find it there. You'll find maybe a word reference to it, and that's all.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and you read the 1911 British Encyclopedia. Actually, I have the 1913 British Encyclopedia Britannica myself. A long, detailed analysis of the Illuminati. But you see, they took over the writing of the various encyclopedia, and they've simply removed mention of the secret societies and the mystery religions from them because they don't want modern people to even know they ever existed. For our listeners, we actually have, we offer through our ministry, something we got from the Library of Congress, from the Jefferson Collection, back to the Library of Congress. And believe me, they sure didn't want to give it to us, but we got it. On the Clintonian Illuminati, it was written in 1802. And we offer that along with other material on the Illuminati from our ministry. So the Illuminati was here. Of course, it's been here. But, of course, it always operates within the shadows. And it's not the only organization, but it's one of many. I think it's more of a coordinating organization. But it operates within the shadows. And, of course, it is Luciferian. And it is the common denominator behind the Brotherhood of Darkness, which is moving us towards a new world order and a new world religion.
Right. Well, the Skull and Bones, again, is just one little faction of that. And it is quite ritualistic. The symbol, of course, is skull and bones with a 3-2-2 underneath it. They like to say that that 3-2-2 refers to the second chapter, goes back to the founding of Germany, but I believe from everything that I have read, the information I've received, this refers more to the ceremonies and so forth, because first of all, participants in the initiation are required to lay naked in a coffin, masturbate, recount their sexual secrets. Then the second process, they are said to be reborn. I believe the whole initiation process in the 3-2-2 actually refers to Genesis 3:22, where these men actually believe they are like God. And the German symbolism that's involved in this, again, I go into a lot of detail into this in my newsletter. But people need to understand that the Skull and Bones, in other words, is a made-in-America secret society. They want a one-world order, but they believe that the America should be on top of that one-world order. And they have a warrior mentality. They believe that things are to be accomplished through war. There are many instances of this throughout their history, people that have been in power during World War II, people that have taken part in Skull and Bones and have been in very, very high positions in the country. I named just a few of these because, I mean, George Bush's family is just, I think there's 9 members of his family that are in Skull and Bones or have been. His, of course, George W., his father, George Herbert Walker, probably the most famous, Prescott Bush, George Herbert Walker's father, he actually was, his property was seized, and he was convicted of Trading with the Enemy Act in 1942.
Because it was his aid for the Nazis. And,
that is
correct. There's a tremendous pro-Nazi a theme, you know.
Yes, and then surprisingly,
right,
after he gets convicted of that and he's involved in that scandal, he was actually later elected senator from the state,
yes,
of Connecticut,
right,
which shows you that it really doesn't matter, you know, what you do. But there are some very prominent people that are bonesmen, William F. Buckley, who's founder of the National Review, Thomas Daniels, which is the founder of Archer Daniels Midland, the Russell Davenport, who is editor of Fortune magazine. He actually created the Fortune 500 list. Harold Stanley, which is the founder of Morgan Stanley Investment Bank. Winston Lord, chairman of the Council of Foreign Relations. Henry Luce, founder of Time Life. William H. Taft, who was president of the United States. We have currently Senator David Boren, Don Chaffee, John Kerry, that are in the Senate. I mean, we could go on and on with these powerful people that are a member of Skull and Bones.
And there are only 15 of them that are inducted every year, but they always go on to key positions in banking, in industry, in government, in the Central Intelligence Agency. Don't they have little cliques of Skull and Bonesmen in the intelligence agency?
Yes, it's very, very interesting. And when I talk about the warrior mentality and the covert mind of the people that are involved in Skull and Bones, there was a professor by the name of Gaddis Smith at Yale. He actually said, Yale has influenced the Central Intelligence Agency more than any other university, giving the CIA the atmosphere of a class reunion. Bonesmen have been foremost among the spooks, virtually building the CIA into a haunted house.
In fact, William F. Buckley, this great so-called conservative Christian, and yet, of course, he was a Bonesman. He was within the CIA. And as they say, once CIA, always CIA.
And the whole Buckley family, including his brother, the CIA, and the whole Buckley family has been involved as Bonesmen. But one point I want to make, Dr. Stan, I have talked about George W. Bush, his father, but currently George W. Bush and the fact that he is a Bonesman, and I've had so many Christians say to me, oh, well, he was a Bonesman in college, but he's not anymore. Oh, he's a Christian. He can't be a member of Skull and Bones. Well, this is why I want to cover this. There are three points here. Now, in his 1999 autobiography called A Charge to Keep, George W. Bush says, my senior year, I joined Skull and Bones, a secret society, so secret, I can't say anything more. Now, for those people who believe this lie, that he had a Christian conversion in the 1980s, and he's a Christian and no longer a Bonesman, in August 7th, 2000, in Time magazine, this was called My Heritage is Part of Who I Am, he was asked, do you have any qualms, say, about being in an elite secret club like Bones? And he replied, no qualms at all. I was honored. Then later, in a September 25th, 2002, USA Today, Alexandra Robbins states that one of George W. Bush's first social gatherings at the White House was a Skull and Bones reunion. Now, this does not sound to me a man who has had a Christian conversion, who is supposed to not be a part of this organization anymore. Why did he have a Skull and Bone reunion then after he became president at the White House? Or why, when he was asked if he had any qualms, when he actually said, I was honored?
Well, you know, Alexandra Robbins, in her book, Secrets of the Tomb, incident, which we do carry through our ministry, quotes him sometime later when he was asked by another reporter about his Skull and Bones membership. His remark was, oh, is that organization still around? I didn't think it was still around.
Part of the Skull and Bones mystique, or whatever you would call it, they are supposed to be secret about their organization. They are not supposed to acknowledge the fact that they are members. And so really seldom, if ever, will they ever come out and admittedly talk about their membership. There's a lot of mystery, a lot of stories really that they make up to try to cover the origins. For example, and I noticed in Alexandra Robbins' book, she kind of went along with the story. Part of the story is they say that Skull and Bones is a fraternity who they have the descendant of a Greek patriot society, that they worship the Greek goddess Eulogia. That's part of the myth. That isn't true. That's one of the mystery stories that they let arise about this. Actually, a lot of information was found out because all the way back in 1876, there were some different secret societies there at Yale. And an order that called itself the Order of File and Claw, because actually that's what they used to break into the Bonesman tomb at Yale, they wrote a short pamphlet on what they found inside that tomb. And so we're able to get a lot of information by that Order of File and Claw in 1876. So this is why we know a lot about this. And again, there have been some other reporters. A reporter back in the early 70s did a lot of work on this. So, you know, part of this is what we hear is a lot of fiction and a lot of mystery. But the thing that is not a mystery is Skull and Bones is part of the Illuminati. They are a Made in America secret society, whose members are out to establish a one-world order with America at the top of the heap.
And I think the significant thing is here is a very small group of men, 15 every year, inducted in, and they really control much of our wealth. They control much of our media. They control much of our Central Intelligence Agency, and they're all sworn to secret oaths. They all look after one another, and they are quite willing to lie or go to any lengths at all to preserve the secrets of the order they belong to. And that is really a far more significant than their oath to uphold our Constitution.
Well, and that is exactly true. And again, it seems to be very, I come against this by more Christians seem to put George W. Bush up on a platform. Seem to feel that he is a Christian, Republican, conservative, and aren't we lucky to have him as the president? Again, I that's why I have just stated these quotes. George W. Bush cannot be a Christian and be a member of Skull and Bones.
Well, I certainly would feel much better if he would come forward and renounce his oaths, because, of course, in the Bible we're told not to take oaths, but having taken them, certainly he could publicly renounce them, expose the secrets of the Skull and Bones. But, of course, when you do that, why, in fact, Alexandra Robbins talks about in one of the interviews I heard recently, where after writing an article that appeared, I think, in the New Yorker magazine, she was contacted by a member of Skull and Bones who was very charming and very nice, and he said what a great job she'd done. They just wanted to know which members of the Skull and Bones she'd talk to get her information. And when she refused, they became very violent and started yelling and screaming at her over the phone and threatening her. And she said, I wasn't about to tell them so they could kill those people. I wasn't about to give out the names. The fact that she would just very casually remark, I didn't want to give out their names so they could kill them.
Well, again, it doesn't, it's also, if George W. Bush wanted nothing to do with his Fuller, other, you know, his association with Skull and Bones, why would he have, right after being inaugurated, have a Skull and Bones reunion at the White House?
And
plus, it's amazing that members of his cabinet, his aides and so forth, his whole administration is loaded with Skull and Bones members.
And actually, of course, it was the Skull and Bones members who helped him when he was involved in his all of his business activities and the oil companies which he organized. He got the money for the investments from members of the Skull and Bones. So, I mean, we're talking about millions of dollars
right.
given to him without any security at all, simply because he was a member of the order.
Well, I read a white paper which was written in April of 1991, which was excellent. Actually, this was written by two men, Paul Goldstein and Jeffrey Steinberg, and this was written for Japanese readers, people in business, corporations, and so forth, so they could understand the mentality of George Herbert Walker Bush, who was, they were trying to explain the Skull and Bones mentality to people in Japan. And I'll quote from what they say. It says, to the Bonesmen, the use of military power is a natural and essential corollary to political power. The Bonesmen are taught, although ideas have their place, to truly transform history, military force is almost always required. Sounds like we're coming up on a break.
I'm afraid we're going to come up on a break. And so when we get back from that break, why, if you're out there listening to us across America, why, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you're here in the Central Coast of California and you agree or disagree, our telephone number, 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. But we're going to be back here in just about 3 minutes with our special guest this evening, Karen Lee Bixman, the investigative reporter. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to us across America, we hope that many of you will decide right now that you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do. 5 hours every day, and reaching out on some 50 stations across America every week, on radio, on shortwave, on the internet, on satellite. We're beginning to reach people with the truth, the stories that you're never going to hear on the regular media. We're going to take you behind the scenes into an understanding of the brotherhood of darkness that controls America. People of great wealth who agree with Plato that the world needs a ruling elite to control us common folks, and their loyalty is not to the United States, but to this internationalist dream, and of course to the true prince of this world, even though many of them don't understand that. And the prince of this world, of course, is Lucifer. And that's what the move towards the one world government is all about, and the fact that our ministers never tell us that, that the drive towards the one world government through the United Nations being fostered and financed by our tax money is really to establish the government of the coming Antichrist. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to join with us in our effort to educate the public, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you would like to, of course, go to our website. It's www.radioliberty.com. And there you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day. Won't get anything accomplished, but you can listen 5 hours a day, either directly or through the links that are listed there, to other networks where we do our programs. We need people who will stand with us in this truly epic struggle. Now, I want to mention that on the 23rd of November, that's the Saturday before Thanksgiving, we're going to put on a day-long seminar at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and we hope that you want to come. It'll be starting at 8 o'clock in the morning and going, the doors will open at 8, the program will start at 8:45. We'll go straight on through until 5, there'll, of course, lunch will be served. There'll be a syllabus, and we're putting that together now with all sorts of information that you're going to not find elsewhere, that I think that will give you a real understanding of what's going on, and we hope many of you will want to come. We have to know how many people are going to be there, how many people, how many syllabuses, how many luncheons, and so give us a call. You have to sign up ahead of time. We are not going to be able to take people at the door. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and if you're outside the area, we'll give you a map, tell you how to get there, and if you need a place to stay, there is a motel not too far away, very comfortable and not too expensive motel, but I think you'll find it to be a fascinating day. Our whole theme will be preparation for what lies ahead, because believe me, if you are not beginning to take the positions right now to prepare yourself, you may end up like the people of Argentina have. Argentina was a very prosperous country a year ago. Today, half the country lives in abject poverty with an average income of $43 a month in a country where the peso was attached to the dollar. And the people have been impoverished because they didn't understand what was happening. Nobody told them ahead of time that they couldn't trust their politicians who promised them that they would never devalue their currency, that their banks would always remain open. And now half the population lives in abject poverty. And of course, they've thrown out government after government after government. They had 5 governments in a matter of about 2 months. And of course, still nothing has been done to solve the problem. So, could it happen here? Of course it could happen here. In fact, we'll even talk perhaps during this last half hour of one of the greatest threats to the stability of our country and exactly what Osama bin Laden said he was going to attack, and that is the financial structure of this country built upon a dollar that is just as reliable as, well, it's backed by absolutely nothing. In fact, as Ludwig von Mises said, it's only government that can take something that is perfectly valuable, like paper, and put green ink on it and make it become worthless. So you need to understand what's happening. You need to understand the new currency that the Arabs, the 1.2 billion Arabs, are going to begin using. We're dependent upon them for oil, and they're going to want to be paid not in American dollars, but in their currency, which is a gold-backed currency, and you're going to see the whole financial foundation of the world turned upside down in a very, very short period of time. You better understand what's coming down the line, and you better position yourself now, or you will find yourself as the people of Argentina and Brazil and so many other countries of the world have found themselves. facing losing everything materially they've ever had. And if you think there's security in insurance policies and annuities and CDs and government bonds, you better come to the meeting we're going to put on. And we'll explain to you what happens to a country where suddenly the currency becomes worthless. Well, it's called preparation, and we want to talk to you about a financial preparation and physical preparation, but mostly spiritual preparation for the times that lie ahead. The number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-544-8927. If you're interested in coming, we'd love to see you there. On the 23rd of September of November, the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And, well, let's get back to Karen Lee. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, our guest this evening is Karen Lee Bixman, the investigative reporter. And before I forget, Karen Lee, I want you to get your telephone number out. You can't mention the cost of your letter, but you can certainly tell people how to get in touch with you and how to get it.
Okay, well, the investigative reporter does come out once a month, and a lot of people have been interested in the financial information. And for those that want us to do it that way, we have been backdating the issues until June. Then their subscription runs from June to May, but they get about 6-7 issues at one time doing it that way, because I've written so much on the financial aspects of what's going to come down. We're also including 2 free issues, back issues, because we really want to help people be prepared. If they are interested in subscribing, they can call our office from 9:30 to 4 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. And that number is 562-493-8957. I'll give that again. It's 562-493-8957.
All right, very good. And so that's 562-493-8957. And, of course, I read the investigative reporter every time it comes from cover to cover. Of course, I always want to know what Karen Lee has to say. And we actually try to get her onto all of our various programs because we feel that her information is provocative and informative. And there's the information that people need to know. Now, if you're out there and you agree or disagree, if you have a question or comment, here's your chance to talk to the investigative reporter. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, Karen Lee, is there anything else you want to say about Skull and Bones?
Well, I think we have kind of given people the general idea of the Skull and Bones, the warrior mentality, and people need to realize this is a satanic society. George W. is not a Christian. And what we're going to get out of this is a one world order. And again, they are trying to fight for America to be on top of that one world order. And folks, it doesn't make any difference one way or the other. A one world order denies you, you know, your freedom, your religion, your liberty. And so this is really what is going on right now. And we are at the ninth hour, Dr. Stan, before all these events start to come down. I'm glad that you're having this conference, because people need to get every piece of information they possibly can to get prepared for what's happening.
Well, now, have you been following this move towards the gold-backed currency for the 1.2 billion Arabs, Muslims throughout the world?
Yes, I have.
And of course, to me, people have to understand that this whole scam that is being put forward is based upon the predominance of the American dollar, the American banking system. Then, of course, it finances the United Nations and uses the military and financial power of the United States to bring all nations under this power of a one-world government. Now, but what will happen if the Muslims suddenly don't take our dollars anymore? They want something that has real value rather than simply a bank entry. They want something that's backed by gold. What is that going
to
do?
Well, this is going on. Various countries now are buying gold. Countries are pulling their money out of the United States. But Dr. Stan, I mention also in my newsletter this month, subterfuge. I think subterfuge is going to be a very important part of the events that come down, because I do not believe that one day the stock market is just going to crash. However this plays out, the market crash, a terrorist attack, and this war that I mentioned, this will play out almost in a simultaneous event, because number one, the administration is not going to take the heat for this coming market collapse. So it must make, they must make people believe that there is some other reason why the economy collapsed, why the market crashed. So there will be a cover story. And whether that be the war, a terrorist event, but one thing will be used to cover another. I believe that when this happens, it is going to happen so quickly. That's why I keep telling people, if you are out, you're in the stock market, get out immediately. Because I believe that when this happens, it will be such a panic situation that sell orders will not even be processed. It will happen so quickly that anybody still in the market, there's just no way that you will be able to get out. And I think it's quite interesting now. We've had this false rally in the market. They did this to keep everything going to the election. People that had jumped out of the market were foolish enough to go back in thinking that, the bull market has started. Far from it. We've had the plunge protection team continue to keep this market going. At the same time, they're saying our unemployment is only about 5.7. It's closer to 13%. 1 in 10 are out of, 1 out of 10 people right now are out of work. We have the highest bankruptcy rate we've ever had, the highest foreclosure rates on mortgages since the 1930s. People are losing their jobs, the lowest consumer confidence figures now for 9 years. Every day, I read a lot every single day, and I read all the financial papers, the financial sites. Things are terrible out there. But to the general person who just looks at the Dow Jones, if it goes up that day, they think everything's fine.
They don't understand the Dow Jones has nothing to do with the market. It's 30 stocks that they can manipulate. The Dow Jones is down less than 30%. The Standard & Poor's is down almost 50%. The NASDAQ's down almost 80%. But their perception is the Dow Jones, without understanding that this is how they manipulate their reality. Well, let's go to Don, who's calling us from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Don. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan. Have you two heard about the correlation between Skull and Bones and the snipers on the East Coast?
I have not heard any correlation there at all. Have you heard any?
I haven't heard a correlation between Skull and Bones, but it's my personal opinion from the whole sniper situation. I believe that that was those gentlemen that were involved in that. I believe they were Manchurian candidates, in essence, under mind control, involved in the mind control operation. And usually when you have a situation like this, whether it be Columbine or something, this was used, number one, for psychological warfare to keep people afraid. Number two, they always use this usually to introduce gun legislation, but this time they used it to break posse comitatus and to test to see if the American people would do anything about it. They involved the Department of Defense to find the sniper, to use the surveillance cameras and so forth. People didn't even blink an eye. This was the test case for it, and so now posse comitatus has been broken. The next time they can have tanks on the streets, and nobody will say a thing.
Now, basically, what Karen Lee is saying is the fact that they were able to use military helicopters, and, of course, the posse comitatus law says that you may not use the army or the military against civilians, no matter what the circumstances are. That's the law. But then, of course, they don't abide by the law. But I know of nothing at all, no relationship at all between this and Skull and Bone.
You don't want to hear it.
Oh, sure I do. You go ahead and tell us.
All right. The They used a Bushmaster rifle that fired .223 ammunition.
All right, fine. Well, that's certainly not that is nothing at all. Skull and Bones.
You don't want to hear this. If you read that from right to left, it's .322 Master Bush.
All right.
Bush is a master mason in Lodge 322 of the Skull and Bones.
Well, that he's not a master mason.
All right. Well, that's pretty far out. Really.
Link.
All right. Well, thank you so much for anything else, Don.
No, that's enough.
Okay. Thank you. And let's go to Nathan calling. Now, the thing is that we don't know. There are just a lot of strange things about the sniper. First of all, he was a Muslim. He had converted to Muslim religion, and the little boy that was with him, whether there was a homosexual relationship or not, we don't know. But the fact, they would say that just because this man was a Muslim, and was just indiscriminately killing people, that wouldn't suggest that this was a terrorist act. Well, it would suggest to me that it was a terrorist act. What other possible explanation would there be to do that?
Well,
and then
this
of
is a mind control operation, Dr. Stan, right. and we've seen this time and time again.
But we can't actually prove it, although we can be suspicious.
Well, I can prove it, but I can't come out and tell my sources on it. But I don't have any doubt about it. I'll tell you that.
All right. Well, when you are able to tell us all the details, I'd love to hear the rest of the story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nathan, did you have a question or comment?
Okay, two, one comment and then a question. Quick comment is actually there is a gun control link to this whole sniper thing because I was reading in the New York Times and in fact they were considering right before this occurred listing one of the powerful gun control laws and that it was essentially tabled. So actually, yeah, in a way there is another also a gun control link here and I suspect that a possibility of something very strange in this early on.
Anytime we have an event like this, it's done for a purpose. We had the Oklahoma City operation, so then they could put in fast track the terrorist laws that were put through afterward. If you look at any of the school shootings that have occurred right after that, gun legislation has been put in. So these operations are done with intent and with purpose behind them. And go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to get to my question. I was going to take it off the air, and I'll let you continue with what you're saying. But after you've completed what you're saying there, I wonder if you could answer this. That you mentioned, and Dr. Stan has mentioned, that there are a few very powerful liberals involved in Skull and Bones. I think John Kerry and... I forget exactly who else. My question is, are they actually allowed into the inner circles? Are the liberals, the people on the left-wing end of the spectrum, actually what they appear to be, or are they actually, you know, sort of skull and bones controlled factions within the left? Are they actually, agents themselves of wealth and privilege? And,
I'm just going to leave that off the air.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
There really is no such thing as a conservative or a liberal. Those are just titles that are thrown out there, like Republican and Democrat. Realize anyone who is a member of the Skull and Bones or any other secret society like this, they want a one world order. And so you have this little masquerade that goes on in the public. Oh, he's a liberal. He's a conservative. He's a Democrat. He's a Republican. To make the American people think, oh, yes, well, we should vote for the conservative or we should vote for the liberal. If you are voting for a member of a secret society, whether it be John Kerry or George W. Bush, people that are opposing parties, with one, you get the same. You will still have your one world order scenario because that is what they are about and that is what they are pushing. So people need to realize that these titles of liberal and conservative and so forth just don't mean a thing.
I think that people have to understand what Professor Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, said in his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, and I believe it's pages 1247, 1248. He said, we need a two-party system, two congressional parties that are essentially the same. That way, the public can vote the scoundrels out every 4 years, and the foreign and domestic policies will remain the same. And that's exactly what it is. George Bush has given a couple of good votes on the abortion issue, and the Christian conservatives rally behind him because, after all, he is pro-life. But isn't it interesting that his mother is not pro-life? His father, George Herbert Walker Bush, was always pro-choice until he ran for the presidency in 1980. And, of course, then became the vice president. Then he always talked, you know, as if he was pro-life. But he never was really pro-life. This is how they play games with our reality. People have forgotten that Bill Clinton was pro-life until he became president, and then he was pro-choice. And the same thing was true with Al Gore. So they say what you want to hear, but that doesn't reflect what they really believe.
Yeah.
In the final analysis, George Bush is carrying out the Bill Clinton's programs, certainly as far as his fast-track legislation, as far as his policies towards communist China. Bill Clinton opposed the missile defense, and George Bush opposes any sort of a real missile defense. Well, he's going to build one, but it just will only be designed to stop a missile coming in from Iraq or North Korea, but it is specifically designed not to be able to withstand an attack by communist China and Russia. Well, if you're going to defend America, why wouldn't you want to defend America against all of our potential enemies? Why just North Korea and Saddam Hussein? Or maybe Fidel Castro or something ridiculous like that? The missile defense that is being recommended by the current administration to justify our unilateral disarmament, and we are in the process now of dismantling many of our peacekeeper missiles and our other missiles. This is specifically designed not to be able to intercept incoming missiles from Russia. Now, why would you do anything like that when, of course, the Russians and the Chinese communists have been financing and working with bin Laden and the al-Qaeda terrorists for years? Well, maybe for the same reason that the CIA has been financing and working with al-Qaeda for years, and people have forgotten that al-Qaeda came out of the Mujahideen that we financed and trained in Afghanistan in the 1980s. And as far as the Taliban is concerned, let me suggest a book called Unholy Wars by John Cooley, correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, written in 1999, where he'll tell you on, I think on page 3 or 4, the United States financed and created the Taliban. But don't worry, we've killed them, so many of them now. And those that we didn't kill, our allies in the Northern Alliance, locked them into these sealed metal containers, and hundreds and hundreds of them simply suffocated to death there. And, of course, where are the calls for war crimes tribunals for that? Well, we financed the Northern Alliance. Nothing will be done. Go ahead, Karen. Lee, pick the story up.
Well, the thing that we're talking about here, Dr. Stan, is the imminent destruction of the United States. Because to have their one world order, we cannot have a sovereign nation. We cannot have an economically viable nation. We really have to bring the United States down to its knees. And that is what is going on. That's what is coming to the country. And this is why I say America itself, what we have known as America to be, a nation and her greatness, those days are over.
Well, I think we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis. And
that's
out of this crisis will come the demand for order, the new world order.
And that's why it's essential, Dr. Stan, for those that are sitting here still hanging on to the country and, you know, thinking that we can turn this back to a constitutional republic. I tell people that the most important thing you need to do, first of all, I believe people need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Without it, I think the coming events, people will actually not be able to survive. They might lose their mind, all sorts of things, but to be stable through that situation, you need that relationship with the Lord. And that's who they need to put their hope, their faith, and trust in Jesus Christ, not in the country. Not in the president, not in a Republican Party or a Democratic Party, but they need to put their hope in the Lord.
Well, nobody was going to disagree with you on that at all. All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, we have time for one or two more calls. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And what Carol Lee is basically saying is this is a spiritual battle, and that's the recurrent theme that we try to get you to understand, that this is not a political battle. There's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republican and the Democrat parties. Oh, they both talked, supposedly the Republicans are in favor of a balanced budget and the Democrats are the big spenders. Do you realize that the deficit this last year was $400 billion? They will tell you, if you read the statistics, it was really only $157 billion, $154 billion, and yet the national debt went up from $5,700,000,000,000 to about $6,100,000,000,000. How did that happen? I mean, how could you only have a deficit of $154 billion and yet your national debt went up $400 billion? Why? Because they stole the money from your Social Security fund. There is no money there. They've just given you government bonds, but there's no money to pay back the government bonds. And you have about as much a likelihood of if you're 20 years old of ever getting Social Security, you do of your Enron stock coming back again. The tragedy is that the American people don't know that over in New Zealand, a dozen years ago, after having all these wonderful social programs and guaranteed pensions, the socialist government came in and said, folks, there's no money. You're going to have to look after yourself because you're not going to have any old age pensions. And one of these days they're going to have to do that here because they know this system is not going to work. But right now they're simply using it to buy the votes of the people who want something from their grandchildren, because our grandchildren are financing this whole system of Social Security and Medicare, and we're simply spending that money on all these crazy programs to keep everybody happy until, of course, the power structure has been consolidated. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners, Karen Lee?
Well, again, I can only say people need to get prepared mentally, physically, spiritually, get their walk with the Lord in place, get into their Bible, pray, and seek the Lord as to what they should do. And again, the key to all of this is having a relationship with the Lord and being in the Lord's will.
And remember, the telephone number to call is 562-493-8957. That's 562-493-8957 to reach the investigative reporter. God bless you, Karen Lee.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night.
Stan.
Thanks
good
so
night.
Much. And this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time we've got to say good night to our listeners up there in the great strait of Idaho and Oregon and Eastern Washington. And we'll be back with you again tomorrow. Until then, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Arthur Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls because we have with us Mr. George Humphrey. And hi, George. How are you doing tonight?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Why don't you sort of introduce yourself to our listeners? They don't know who you are. So why don't you tell them who you are and what you're going to talk about tonight?
Well, I live in Austin, Texas. I'm a businessman. And I also write books. For the last 12 years, I've been investigating the New World Order. I've written two books, one book called Common Sense, another book called Uncommon Sense. And I'm writing another book about 9-1-1.
All right, fine. And, of course, Common Sense is a takeoff on those essays that were written back at the time of the American Revolution by Thomas Paine. And, of course, they actually had a profound impact on the American Revolution. And Thomas Paine really was a brilliant author. And, of course, you picked up and used his title for your book as well. Perhaps we could talk about Common Sense some other time. Do you want to talk about your new book and what's happening as far as the Islamic attack on America? Do you want to deal with your books on Common Sense tonight?
Well, I'm just finishing a brand new book called The Great Illusion about what happened on 9-1-1, and I think that would be a great place for us to talk about tonight.
All right, so let's talk about The Great Illusion. We saw it right there on our television screens, exactly what happened, and everybody knows what happened, or do we know what really happened? So why don't you pick up the story?
Well, as Osama bin Laden said in an interview to BBC, he says, "I tell you, freedom and human rights in America are doomed. The U.S. government will lead the American people and the West in general into an unbearable hell and a choking life."
And I think that's exactly what he intended, and maybe that's why on that morning of knowing full well there was going to be an attack, and anybody that doesn't know that they knew there was going to be an attack, you need to get Christian Breitweiser's testimony before the Senate Select Committee September 18th. It was totally ignored by the mass media, but we reprinted it in our October newsletter. It's available if you haven't had a copy of our newsletter before, simply by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Read Christian Breitweiser's testimony. Her husband Ron died in the South Tower, and of course I think after you finish reading her testimony you realize that of course they knew there was going to be an attack. We were on alert all across the world for an attack, and the first plane is hijacked, and the second plane is hijacked, and the third plane is hijacked, and the fourth plane is hijacked, and for an hour and 40 minutes not one fighter plane is put in the air to defend our nation's capital, the White House, the Capitol building, the Pentagon. Not one fighter plane is there. How could that have happened unintentionally? Go ahead,
yeah,
George.
Stan, you bring up some incredibly good points. And in what is going on, these people, the Illuminati, the power elite, the guys with the black hats, the Luciferian people, whatever you want to call these people are set and determined to destroy the sovereignty of the United States and to destroy the good things, the God-fearing ways of our culture. And if people with an objective mind take a look at the facts, they will find that exactly what you have said and what many other researchers are screaming about is that there was prior information that Osama bin Laden was a long-time CIA asset. that the Al-Qaeda was created and funded by the CIA.
All right, well, now, Kirsten, we know that Osama bin Laden worked with Pakistani intelligence, which was funded by the CIA during the Afghan War. But how can you say he was an asset? He may very well have worked with the CIA, and I've heard he was an asset, but is there any documentation of that?
Well, yes, there is. A very, very wonderful investigative reporter, Christopher Bolin, who works in Germany, has documented that Osama bin Laden became a CIA asset in 1978 or 1979, and his Western cover name was Tim Osman. And as many of your readers and your listeners know, is that Osama bin Laden was the son of Sheikh Mohammed bin Laden, who was the founder of Bin Laden Brothers Construction Company, which is now the Saudi Bin Laden Group, which is the largest construction company in the Middle East, has built all of the American bases in the Middle East, and the Bin Ladens and the Bushes, who are right here from Austin, Texas, are close personal friends and have been business partners since 1976 in Arbusto Energy.
Now, of course, we know that after the Islamic terrorists had blown up the American base at known as the Khobar Towers in Saudi Arabia, that it was very interesting that our government picked Osama bin Laden's brother to rebuild the barracks. And when asked why, they said, well, he put in the lowest bid. But, how can people get hold of this Christopher Bolin's material and verify what you've said?
Well, that is a wonderful question, because your listeners should not believe a word that I say, but I would hope that they would keep an open heart and check the reference. And I would like to give you four different reference areas that they can check and make sure for themselves. Number one, Christopher Bolin, who works for the American Free Press, has done an incredible job. And you can get a lot of his information through the American Free Press.
Is that on the Internet?
It is. I don't have that internet website, but I'm sure if you looked up under Google, under American Free Press, and they have put out an incredible booklet called 50 Unanswered Questions About 9-1-1, and you can get this for about $1.50. There's a new book called Painful Questions, called An Analysis of the September 11th Attack by Eric Huffschmidt out of Santa Barbara, that has just come out this last week. It is self-published, that pictorially shows, not through words, but pictorially shows that there were bombs in the World Trade Center buildings 1, 2, 6, and 7 previous to the planes hitting those buildings, and that the bombs brought down buildings 1, 2, and 7. So this book called Painful Questions, and I can give you that phone number later on if you would like.
Okay, why don't you give it right now?
Okay, I can do that for you. That phone number is area code 1-800-258-7599.
All right, go ahead.
1-800-258-7599, and Eric Huffschmidt is just and a wonderful, wonderful person. Another book that has just come out just in the last week is called Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center Disaster by David Icke. David is a very controversial writer, and there's some things that I disagree with him about, but this book is totally documented and goes over everything that I'm saying.
Alice in Wonderland, what's the rest of it?
And the World Trade Center Disaster by David Icke, and you can look that up under www.davidicke, I-C-K-E.
All right, fine. And, of course, I know David. Some of his material I agree with and some I don't. I'll have to look at this. Certainly we've interviewed Eric Huffschmidt, and his book, Painful Questions, is really a very, very provocative. Is this Christopher Bolin work for the American Free Press?
He does.
All right, fine. As you said, there were four. Is there one more?
And there is another book. There is a young fellow here in Austin, Texas, who is doing a tremendous job in speaking the truth. His name is Alex Jones, and he has written a book called 9/11, Descent into Tyranny. And you can get his information at www.infowars.com.
Actually, we carry Alex's book, so I think that it is a fascinating book, his website, infowars.com. And the section on prior knowledge is certainly unsurpassed in America.
And this is something that all of our all listeners, I have a television show here in Austin, Texas. I do radio shows across the country and talk about this every day, as I'm sure you do. You encourage the people to use discernment, because this is very serious information, and to check the information. But when you check the information with an objective heart and an objective mind, people find out that this conspiracy of tyranny that is taking place in this country is one of the most serious times and situations in our world. And this is not only a cultural and a political and economic battle, this is a time of very, very important spiritual choice.
It certainly is. You know, when you think about what happened that morning of 9/11, and of course the North Tower has already been attacked, and the people in the South Tower are looking out the windows and seeing the flames and the smoke and people jumping out the windows, and they want to get out of their tower, and the Port Authority orders them all to stay at their post. Don't leave the building. Don't leave the building.
I can confirm that. I have a cousin who was in the World Trade Center building number 7, and he was there, and he was just telling me last week that they were told to stay in the buildings. Fortunately, good reason prevailed, and the people started moving out of those buildings.
And, of course, the fascinating part about the story of the South Tower is the man in charge of security on the top two floors. He worked for Morgan Stanley. There were 3,500 employees. And when the Port Authority is saying and announcing over the loudspeaker, stay there, nothing to worry about, he is running up and down the aisle saying, get on the elevators and get out of here, evacuate if we're under terrorist attack. And he saved all but three of the 3,500 employees of the Morgan Stanley who were on the top floor of the South Tower. That is a story told by Stephen Push.
That's a beautiful story.
And of course, he died. He went back in to try to get those other three people out, and of course, he perished in the building.
Are you speaking about John O'Neill?
No. O'Neill was over at the FBI. I know this fellow actually worked for Morgan Stanley.
Okay.
And but certainly John O'Neill, who worked in charge of counterterrorism, deputy assistant the director of the CIA, pardon me, the FBI. And they wouldn't allow him to investigate the Islamic terrorism. He knew about it. He was trying to do what was right, and he was blocked by the FBI from doing what was right to try to stop that. There was a documentary on Dateline recently, and they showed, you know, what the things he was working on. One of them was something called Operation Bojinka. Operation Bojinka was a plan to exposed in 1975, a plan to hijack American planes and fly them into, of all places, the Pentagon, White House, and, of course, the World Trade Center. And so they knew about the World Trade Center. It was brought up again in 1997 when they had a trial for Ramzi Yousef there and in New York City, and they brought up Operation Bojinka and the plan to attack the World Trade Center. Of course they knew the World Trade Center. The Islamists had already attacked it one time. Is that the reason why they locked the doors to the roof so you couldn't get out on the roof and be rescued by helicopters? I saw an interview with a woman whose husband was trying to get up on the roof. But you see, there was no way to get up on the roof because they locked the doors. Why did they lock the doors to the roof? Why? Because many people got out there in 1993 after the bombing, and they, of course, survived. But no one was to be allowed to get out on the roof that morning. And, of course, the fact that most people have never heard these things is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today of what the American people think.
Exactly. And what your show is doing and what other patriots across this country are doing is that with as much discernment and objective knowledge and information as possible, we are trying to share with our brothers and sisters the fact that the predominant media is intentionally withholding and manipulating information. And the reason for this, and most people say, well, you know, what is the reason for this? And the reason for this is that the CEOs and the owners of ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, so all the largest companies are all members of an organization called Bilderberg. And they're also members of an organization called the CFR. Both of these organizations are openly dedicated to destroying the sovereignty of the United States and creating a one-world, secular, materialistic, one-world government.
Under a ruling elite, of course, really a return to feudalism. And, of course, it's very interesting, you know, to go to any of the local newspapers and ever try to find a mention of the Bilderberger meetings. They just never mention that in the American media. You'll find it mentioned in the European media and the Canadian media, but it's totally blacked out here in America, other than, you know, a few rather right-wing groups talk about this. But the rest of the media is not allowed to mention it. Catherine Graham, who owned both the New York Times, pardon me, the Washington Post, and Newsweek magazine, published them. She was a member of the Bilderberger. She would never allow any mention of that in any of her publications, and anybody who tried to bring it out would lose their jobs. That's how the world really works. And until people understand that the media is largely controlled in America, and of course is being used to control the reality of the American people, until you understand that you've been lied to by your teachers in school, you've been lied to by the textbooks that you've read, they've rewritten the Encyclopedia Britannica, and certainly almost all the mainline media is under control, but we still have alternative radio and we have the internet, and of course we have shortwave, and we are reaching more and more people all the time. Are you encouraged by that, George?
Yes, and in writing my book and speaking around the country, as I'm sure you're doing, 10 years ago when I talked about this information, people would call me a nut or a conspiracy theorist or whatever. But in the last 4 or 5 years, I have found that greater and greater numbers of people are waking up. They are. Everybody knows that there is something wrong, and more people are waking up to the truth. They realize that the predominant media is lying to them. They realize that our economy is crumbling underneath their feet. They realize that it is harder and harder for their children to find jobs. They realize the things that we love about America, the Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, the privacy, all these things are being eroded. And we the American people, have a very, very big choice in front of us. Either we can wake up from our slumber and objectively find the truth and speak the truth and stay in our heart, or we can stay asleep and watch this beautiful, beautiful thing that we call America be destroyed and become a police state. And what I am finding is that, and I talk about this every day, more and more people are coming to me and coming to you and coming to others around the country because they are hungry for the truth. And as long as we speak the truth, we don't have to inflate this because the story is so bizarre as it is. Because there is so much objective information behind what you and I are saying tonight, is that we can show conclusively that there was absolute total conspiracy and prior knowledge to what happened at 9/11. There was an event called Hegelian theory, or a Hegelian event, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, or in English, problem, reaction, solution.
The dialectic.
Yes, sir. And they create the problem. The reaction is fear among the people, and the prearranged solution is more power for the power elite or the ruling class.
You know, what's really so interesting about that is that, you know, this whole office, the idea of the Office of Homeland Security, was actually laid out in a publication put out by the United States Commission for Security in the 21st Century. It came out in January of the year 2001. fully 10 months or 9 months before the September 11th attack. Now, most people think that the idea of the Office of Homeland Security came about because of the attack. No, the attack came about because it was the only way you're going to be able to sell the American people on this draconian legislation, which effectively guts the concept of checks and balances, creates a organization, a combination of 22 agencies and 170,000 federal employees under this one agency that was not answerable at all to Congress. Independent appropriations, the ideas of checks and balances will no longer exist. And you're being told that this Office of Homeland Security was being held up in the Senate, having something to do with civil service requirements, the president wanted different civil service requirements than others. That's not what it was about at all. Senator Byrd, the others who were speaking out against it were saying, don't you realize this is gutting the Constitution?
Right.
But the fact that that has never been picked up by the media, and unless you are very, very careful to analyze this and read the New York Times and in great detail every day as I do, you would never know what is going on in Washington, D.C., because Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw and Barbara Walters are never going to tell you the truth about what's really going on in our nation's capital. And maybe they don't know. They just read the scripts that are written for them by the people who pull their strings.
One of the things that I have found when I talk about this, and when people are just learning, people always ask, why would these people do it? And I always refer to a period of time when Rome was still a republic, and there was still a Senate there. And then when there was a trial, the Roman judges would always ask the question, qui bono, or who benefits? And if we ask that very simple question, qui bono, or who is benefited by this terrible set of tragedies that took place on 9/11, we will realize that the Arab nations didn't benefit. We will realize that the people of the United States did not benefit. But there is a group of people who benefited tremendously. The arms dealers have sold hundreds of billions of dollars of new weapons. And many of those arms industries owners are in positions of decision-making power in our United States government.
And of course, that ties into Carlyle Industries.
Of course.
Which, of course, is Frank Carlucci, James Baker III.
And the Bush family.
And the Bush family, and of course, until recently was the Bin Laden family as well.
Yes.
Henry Kissinger is a consultant for them. Yeah, they, and of course, they had bought up the company that makes the Bradley fighting vehicle, the Mobile Howitzer. They were involved with Grumman Aircraft, which of course is involved with military aircraft production. So you have to understand, they did this long before. In fact, I couldn't figure out why Carlyle was going into the military production 3 or 4 years ago. It's very obvious after September 11th. They knew exactly what was going to happen, but of course they couldn't let the American people know that. But, I think that the profits from arms production are a byproduct. I really believe that the real purpose behind this was to facilitate this move towards the New World Order and the New World Religion. And of course, they were quite willing to make all the profits on the weapons of death that they produced. But of course, that is simply a byproduct of the real purpose behind this, which is not to make money, but it is the ultimate power that comes when you rule the world.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And when I talk about the arms dealers, that is secondary. They are at the secondary level to the occult leaders of the Illuminati. Some of the other secondary beneficiaries are the multinational oil corporations who have taken control of the fields east of the Caspian Sea and who have put through the who are now putting through a pipeline through Afghanistan that the Taliban had said no to. One of the big beneficiaries of that are the Unocal Corporation here in Houston, Texas, that is closely associated with Halliburton, which is very, very closely controlled with Dick Cheney, our vice president. The IMF and the World Bank, the international banksters, have made over $1 trillion in new loans, which is all profit because it's money out of thin air. But the number one beneficiary of this are the leaders of the New World Order, who have always had their eye on the creation of a one-world government. And they've always known that the freedom-loving people, the Christian culture of the United States, has always been their biggest obstacle. And Albert Pike, in his very famous book in 1876, Morals and Dogma, wrote about his plans and the plans of the Illuminati to create a one-world government. And even back in 1876, they knew that the American Republic and the people of this country were always going to be their biggest problem. And the way that they said that they were going to overthrow this country was through debt and through the destruction of our moral way of life. And you know, today, the United States is absolutely bankrupt. There's no question about that. And that the many, many of the wonderful, good traditions of the spiritual life of this country have been eroded. And it is up to us to restore our spiritual way of life, God's law, and to bring back, you know, a semblance of truth and honesty to our economic and political system.
All right. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. If you agree, you disagree. If you'd like more sources of documentation from our guest, why, give us a call. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is George Humphrey. And George, you have a telephone number where people can order your books if they want to. You can't give the price, but you can certainly give information on how people can reach you.
Absolutely. People can reach me at area code 512-479-6776. It's area code 512-479-6776.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, I think it's, you know, as we analyze what's happened since September 11th of last year, within 46 days of the attack, the USA Patriot Act had been passed by both houses of Congress and signed by the president, one of the most draconian pieces of legislation ever seen. According to Ron Paul, the members of Congress weren't allowed to read the legislation before they were asked to vote on it. They were simply told it was the patriotic thing to do. After all, it was called the United States USA Patriot Act. And who can be against patriotism, especially when the Washington, D.C. has been under attack with anthrax, 3,000 people died in the World Trade Center. Do you want to vote for patriotism, or do you want to be known by your constituents as somebody who opposes patriotism? And yet, if you read this legislation, 200 pages, 150 subsections, this is the most draconian piece of legislation I've ever seen, because it effectively suspends the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. And what's even most frightening about it, it doesn't have anything to do with Islamic terrorism. It doesn't have one thing to do with Islamic terrorism. They simply redefine terrorism, and, of course, almost anything that you do of a criminal nature, and, of course, they determine whether it's criminal, can make you an Islamic terrorist. If, for instance, you are trying in any way to influence the policies of our government and change the policies of our government by coercion, well, that's exactly what the CFR has been doing for years. These guys all be arrested as terrorists because they are trying through coercion to change our way of life. But, of course, it will not be used against these people of great wealth, but against those of us who would try to preserve our constitutional form of government, try to preserve our freedom and our way of life.
You know what is interesting is that just a couple of years ago, the concepts of doublespeak of George Orwell's book, 1984, seemed very far away. It seemed like a fantasy. But today, if you read George Orwell's book, is that the truth of what is happening today very much matches what George Orwell talked about. And unless the good people of this country wake up and wake up now, and as Edmund Burke said, evil can only flourish when good men and women do nothing. And that is why you and I are talking to the people of this country, trying to get out the truth, sharing the truth, because each one of us has the power and the responsibility to speak the truth.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment with George Humphrey. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when, once again, I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us so that we can reach out across America 5 hours a day. And then on the weekend, our programs right now are heard on at least 35 stations, and hopefully with time we'll gradually increase our coverage. But quite frankly, we're dependent upon you out there, if you believe in what we're doing, to help us so that we can reach into more and more homes on a regular basis. And of course, we encourage you to consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, getting the tapes, helping to copy those tapes and distribute them across America. You can, of course, get our newsletter, and we invite you to copy the newsletter and help to get that information out. Our website is www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. You can pull our newsletters down off the internet. Don't look quite as nice as our regular newsletter, but the information is there. You can get a lot of our programs archived off the internet. You can copy it there. We make that offer to you. You're welcome to do that and to disseminate the information. But of course, quite frankly, we need your help so that we can continue expanding little bit by little bit our coverage. And how exciting it is to know that our information is getting out, it is impacting, and people are beginning to hear things now that they never have heard before, and an understanding of the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, our telephone number is 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America truly is under attack today. And not by Islamic terrorists. Yes, the Islamic terrorists there, they're real. The threat is a real threat. The only question is, where did the Islamic terrorist movement come from? Who financed the Islamic terrorist movement? Who has supported it and concealed its existence until recently? And, of course, gave it the impression it could act with impunity all throughout the world, until suddenly one day these Islamic terrorists found that we'd been tracking them all along and we knew exactly who they were. But, of course, nothing was done to stop them until after September 11th. Well, and then, of course, right now we want to remind you we're going to have that conference. It's going to be held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course on the 23rd of November. That's the Saturday before Thanksgiving. It's going to be all day long. We're going to talk about preparation and what you must do, the steps you must begin to take now to prepare for what lies ahead, financially, physically, and spiritually. And you better understand what we're really up against, and you better make your decisions now as to what you're going to do. And, it, of course, none of us are going to come through this unscathed. And, of course, we can only hope that whatever we do will be honorable to honoring to our Lord. So, again, our telephone number, if you'd like to come to that meeting all day long, and, of course, there will be a luncheon, there will be a syllabus. We need to know how many are going to be there so we can get the orders in for the luncheons and so we can get those syllabuses printed. Our telephone number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and right now we have Nathan calling back from Contra Costa. And if you're out there listening to us, you'd like to have a question or comment, you agree or disagree, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Nathan. Now you have another question.
Hi. Well, quickly, first of all, you definitely said it well on the Bilderbergers. I mean, you don't hear anything in the mainstream media. It's just the extreme left and right media, you know, neither of which I really agree with, but that's where those are the only places you can even hear anything about
right,
this.
Right, you're right.
But anyhow, two questions. Let me start off with my first one. Sir, what is your opinion of the accidental death of Senator Paul Wellstone, flying in his airplane on the eve of the election, which seems oddly similar to the accidental death of Mel Carnahan right before the 2000 election? I'm not implying anything because I don't know, and I want to make that very clear, but I do have questions.
All right. The question, George, is what do you think about the airplane crash in which Senator Wellstone was killed?
Well, it is very interesting that since 1972, 32 different U.S. senators and U.S. congressmen have died in small plane accidents. If you put up the amortization of the numbers of hours that these senators and congressmen fly as opposed to the crash rate of these type of planes, the proportions are thousands of times higher than for other types of citizens. For example, about 10 years ago, our former United States Senator John Tower, who wanted to be the Secretary of Defense and who was promised that position by George Bush Sr., Rockefeller put the nix on that, and whether you supported John Tower or not, he was a banty rooster, and he wasn't going to take this lying down. And so he was going to speak out against it, and it just so happens that he and a buddy of his, two different plane crashes within two different days. Now, can I prove that these planes were taken down? No. But it is interesting that Senator Wellstone was one of the very few senators, again, whether you supported him or not, asking the tough questions and calling for an investigation. And at that time, he was one of the swing senators, and the GOP desperately wanted control of the Senate. So I think that it is important for investigators to go in there and try and find the information.
All right, and Chris, he had actually opposed the attack on Iraq. And even more than that, he was against our cuddling up to communist China, and he felt it was a tyrannical regime. He was a left-wing senator, but on certain things, he was right on, and one of them was he was extremely critical of the fact that we're financing in communist China the best enemy money can buy. And it's not simply coincidence that shortly after the vote on Iraq, where he voted against the administration, he died. But we can't say anything more than that. It could have been simply a coincidence, Nathan. Until there's more firm evidence, anything we say would be conjecture. Any other questions?
Well, yeah, and yeah, well, then let me just say this. I do wonder if he ever messed with the Federal Reserve in the way that Kennedy was said to have, you know, planning for some sort of investigation or anything like that. But my final question I'm going to leave off with is, you said that you mentioned you wrote a book called Common Sense,
yes,
modeled after Tom Paine. Now, Tom Paine is one of my favorite of the founding patriots, but, you know, there is the question that there is the claim that some have made that he was a member of the Bavarian Illuminati. I don't know what to make of it myself, but I was wondering if you studied it, if you had any opinions on that, and I'll leave the answer off the air. I love him personally.
I just love his burning clarity of the ideals of freedom. And now, it is true that Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin were probably members of the Illuminati, but they were, at least in my opinion, they were not in the inner core, and they were not close to Adam Weishaupt. And so there were people who were members of the Illuminati, just like there are members of the Masonic orders, who are coming from a pure heart and who have been tricked by these organizations. I have written this book, my first book, it was called Common Sense, An Introduction to the Dangers of the New World Order, because I have such great respect for Thomas Paine's original work, which ignited the consciousness of the American people. And even the ministers of this country in 1776 would read Common Sense to the people to enunciate and clarify the reasons that freedom was such a spiritual undertaking.
From the east to the west, blow the trumpet to arms. Through the land, let the sound of it flee. Let the far and the near all unite with a cheer in defense of our liberty tree. Isn't that beautiful? And, of course, I mean, so many of the things that he wrote at that time are still classics, I love that one about sunshine patriots, you know, of course, will will not stand in the fight. I don't have that quotation right here before me, but certainly he talked in a wonderful way. And yet, of course, he was a professional revolutionary, and he left America. He went over to join in creating the French Revolution. Almost got himself killed over there. He was basically involved with this whole world revolutionary movement, which had its origins in Masonry and, of course, in the Illuminati. And, of course, I don't know that he ever really understood what it was all about, but I will tell you that after he had written The Age of Reason, which was his effort to destroy Christianity, why, of course, the American ministers turned against him. And when he returned to America as an old man and went to visit Thomas Jefferson, the White House, Jefferson became president in 1800. Why? Because Jefferson allowed him in the White House after writing The Age of Reason. Why, of course, Jefferson was severely criticized. And, of course, as my minister used to say, you know, whenever my blood pressure gets low, I pick up a copy of The Age of Reason, and it always gets it back to a proper level. The problem was that Thomas Jefferson did not understand our Lord, and he was, frankly, anti-Christian. But on the other hand, he was a wonderful, wonderful writer, and we are indebted to him for inspiring the colonies to rise up in defense of liberty.
Yes, yes. I would like to read just one quote from Thomas Paine that I think is so central. It says, "The cause of America is in great measure the cause of all mankind." And truly, the work that the patriots of this country are doing right now is not only serving their families and their states and their communities and our country, but it is the work for all mankind. And we have a choice right now. We can either speak the truth and stay in our heart and do what is right, or we can put our head in the sand and the police state will take over. And the last beacon of freedom in this whole world will be drowned. And civilization as we know it will face some very, very difficult times.
You're absolutely right. Let me just read you this wonderful quotation from Paine. "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and the thanks of man and of woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. 'Tis dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated." Isn't that beautiful? That is one of my favorite quotations.
Dr. Stan, coming back to 911, there are a couple of things about what happened on 911 that I would like to share with your listeners.
Go right ahead.
Is that earlier I said that there were bombs that were in WTC buildings 1, 2, 6, and 7 previous to the planes hitting.
Well, now, of course, can we actually prove that? I've read Eric's treatise. I've seen his pictures. They're very convincing. But can we be sure that this is not simply coincidence, or that the sounds that sounded like repeated bombs going off were simply not the slabs of concrete slapping on one another?
Well, it is my fervent belief that there is objective, concrete proof that there were bombs in the building previous to the planes hitting. And this is the reason I say this. Number one is that if you take what is called the law of falling bodies, which Galileo came up with, is if you took a bowling ball and dropped it from the top of the World Trade Center, which was 1,350 feet high, in a vacuum, it would take 9.16 seconds for that bowling ball to come down in a vacuum. Now, if there was any resistance whatsoever, like atmosphere or a building underneath it, it would take much longer. Now, the South Tower came down in 10.4 seconds. The North Tower came down in 8.1 seconds. it defies the law of gravity for how quickly these buildings came down. Now, one of the things that has not been pointed out is that the World Trade Centers were built like the proverbial brick outhouses. There were 46 huge steel internal columns in the building tied into 236 steel external columns with metal truss, thousands and thousands of metal trusses. These buildings were overbuilt, and they were extremely well engineered to withstand more than the hit of a 747. And it also must be pointed out that never before in the history of New York or the United States or of the world has a metal frame building ever come down because of fire. The most prestigious fireman's magazine in the world, called Firefighters Magazine, which has been around for 170 years, the editor is white hot because of the lack of investigation, because of what went on. We are told that these buildings came down because of what's called a compression demolition, or what they call the pancake theory. Now, that theory, for people who have not studied it, seems to be relative and reasonable. But when one does more than just a little investigation, you realize that it is impossible for the buildings to have come down in a pancake demolition in the way it did.
Well, why is that?
Well, what they are saying is that the heat from the building expanded the trusses and pushed the columns out, and that as the columns came out, then the floors pushed down and brought it down.
Well, I think the idea is the weight of the superincumbent structure as it slammed down into a floor would simply collapse, and the support for that floor, and that one would come down, then the next one would come down, sort of one pancake after another.
Yes, and that is that sounds like a very, very reasonable and rational explanation, but the point is that for this to have happened is that thousands and thousands and thousands of bolts and welds would have had to have instantaneously broke. And the fire in that building was a dirty fire. It was estimated at the most that the fire was burning at 1,250 to 1,300 degrees Fahrenheit, which is not enough to expand those trusses. But what even proves this even more is that, do you remember that large gray cloud of smoke that came out from the buildings?
I assume that was the cement dust. What was it?
Yes. And that's in a compression demolition. There is not 1/1,000th of the latent energy to, and that gray smoke, it was not pulverized, it was crystallized concrete in which the molecular structure had been scrambled. Now, with a compression demolition, the concrete would break and chip and fall, and there would be large pieces. But the building materials would not crystallize. And there is no way, from any form or fashion, that there is enough latent energy in a compression demolition to have done this. Now, further is that the jet fuel at the time of blast, if there was perfect oxygenation, would burn at 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit for moments. Now, because there were a lot of carbons in the mix, it was burning at about 1,200 degrees. 5 days after the explosions in 9-1-1, NASA did a thermal imaging. And in this thermal imaging, they measured 24 different spots, and the average temperature on the surface was between 900 to 1,300 degrees. There were hot, and this was after 500 trucks had carried the evidence away, and over 1 million gallons of water had been sprayed onto the rubble. In other words, the heat on the surface 5 days after was hotter than the burn of the fuel at the time of the accident. Now, the only thing that could crystallize the building materials, the concrete, and send this out that could bring the building down at faster than the rate of gravity would be an electromagnetic pulse of a very, very massive type of either a type of nuclear explosion or a type of very super high plastic explosion. I believe it was a plastic explosion that created the electromagnetic pulse that scrambled the molecular structure and then created the vacuum to bring the buildings down. And that created these incredible hot spots. Now, not on the surface, but when you went down seven floors, is that the metal that was part of the foundation was absolutely melted. So that meant that the blast had to be over 3,000 degrees to melt this material. And there is no other explanation. Even if you had increased the jet fuel by 100%, by 1,000%, there is no way it could have created this sort of thermal damage and left this forensic evidence.
Well, now, of course, you make the point that the cement was crystallized. I'd never heard that before. Is there anything written on the fact that this was crystallized? I assume it was just sort of, a cement dust.
Well, in Eric Hufschmid's book, Painful Questions, it goes over that very, very well. And there are pictures of this. And in this crystallization is that it wasn't only concrete, it was the other building materials. And one of the things that were in the buildings had a tremendous problem in that these buildings had been built with a lot of asbestos. And there has been a tremendous amount of asbestos that has been blasted around New York City. And the number of people with upper respiratory infections in New York have increased dramatically in the last year.
Yes, I heard that many of the people who worked there at the World Trade Center clearing it out have had permanent pulmonary problems since then, and some of them are severely incapacitated. Let's talk to Theodora from Santa Cruz. Hi, Theodora. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing as good as I can, knowing what I know.
Hey, you know, sometimes, have you ever wished maybe you didn't know as much as you do?
Well, I know I can remember consciously asking my higher-ups spiritually to know what was going on. There's something about this lifetime that's about learning that stuff. So I'm grateful for all the guests you bring on that help, move the veil aside so I can get the bigger picture. And the bigger picture does include God and Jesus and a host of other beings that are reminding us that we are on a much larger spiritual journey.
And all right.
So, I work at not getting too depressed, but it is amazing. And one of the pieces of information I wanted to bring up, and your guest probably knows about it, because if I know about it, people like your guest who do research probably do, and that's the recording they found of the firemen who, exchanges between the firemen who actually made it up,
mm-hmm.
up to where the fire was, burning. And it's a tape that was found, and we haven't heard anything about it other than they have admitted finding it. But my understanding is it was, the communication was that everything was under control.
In other words, that the fire really wasn't burning very much by the time they got there.
By when they got there, that most of it burned off and they could handle the rest and people would be coming down slowly but surely.
All right. I've heard that. Where is that recorded? I mean, I've heard it, but I don't know where to find it. Do you know any source for that, Theodore?
I was over at the UFO Expo recently where they had some very good speakers, and it was at one of the tables they had some printed material. And you know, again, I, you know, there has been some admitting that this tape was found, but, you know, nothing that has come, you know, nothing beyond that.
Well, how about you, George? Do you have anything on that?
I have heard this 3 or 4 times, but because I cannot confirm this, I am not putting this in my book.
Actually, let me, the person, the table that was at was the table, there used to be a magazine that was put out, I think, on a monthly basis, that was, at the time, was pretty much the only thing, you know, that I was aware of coming out from the right spectrum, but with real good hard news. And it got, you know, it got pushed under, I guess, by the powers that be, and it's starting to come out in a new form. Does that ring a bell to you, Dr. Stan?
No, really.
Because you would, you know, it was one of those newspapers that was on the front lines of, you know, revealing from the right perspective.
You're not talking about Spotlight, which became the American Free Press?
Spotlight.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
okay. So, and if that's the American Free Press, then your gentleman is already in contact with them. The person who was sharing this was associated with those folks.
All right. I've heard the story, and, Chris, I wanted to check everything out very carefully before we accept it as truth. I'll have to, I think Dave Wegener has some material on that. I'll see what I can come up with. Anything else you wanted to say?
Well, just that, yeah, the CIA did it, and, I remember when the day it happened that was my first take on it, because I listened to shows like yours, and, you know, I'm well aware of how this all works. And, you know, I went out that day and said, boy, yeah, the CIA did it. And people looked at me real strange. And within 3 or 4 or 5 months, they didn't look at me real strange anymore.
Well, let me give you that quotation, and it comes from a book written by a CIA agent. His name is Robert Baer. The book is See No Evil. And in the preface of the book, he quotes a reporter who told him that a high-ranking CIA official, one of the highest-ranking CIA officials, had told them off the record that when the dust finally settled after September 11th, the public would realize that this was not a failure for the intelligence agencies, but a triumph. How could the death of 3,000 Americans be a triumph? The fact that that story has not been picked up at all by the regular media suggests that somebody doesn't want to focus our attention onto the fact that this was a triumph for the CIA, and the only triumph would be that it would justify our going into World War III. Hey, we're out of time. God bless you, Theodore.
Thank you for keeping us aware of it, because a lot of people know what the truth is thanks to people like you.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Oh, we're just about out of time, George. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Dr. Stan, I would like to thank you and all of your listeners for having an open mind and an open heart and speaking about these very, very essential issues. I'd like to say hi to my friends Greta and Tom, who live in Santa Cruz. You've got a beautiful, beautiful place. And I ask all the people to speak the truth and to stay in their hearts.
God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us, George. And you're right on. This is a spiritual battle. There are secret societies, and whether we call them Illuminati, whether we call them banksters, it doesn't really matter what we call them. They're evil people, and they're plunging the world into a terrible, terrible conflict. God bless you. Good night, and we'll talk to you again. I want to get you on some of our other programs.
Great.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed the program with George, and, well, until the next tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.
She's into the new age and all these.
Yeah,
I
job,
caught
you
some
know.
Of that, yeah.
But, you know, if her heart's in the right place.
Sure.
When she listens regularly, she gets a lot of the others to listen to. I'm just hoping something I say, or maybe something that Doug says, or, well, to give up all these other gods and just embrace the one true one.
Oh, right, yeah. A lot of that's having faith. Here she comes.
Did you really mean to say that Thomas Jefferson didn't understand our Lord?
Well, he was the Christian.
Well, yeah. But is that what you meant to say?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, I think that's what you did
Maybe
say.
Maybe I did say it.
That's all.
He's busy. But, yeah.
Huh?
He's busy.